the Lord for God's faithfulness unto us. Certainly desire your prayers this morning, as always, depending on him yet one more time. He certainly is trustworthy. Amen. And he's doing all that he can for us. He wants to hold our hand. But you know, the thing is, he's not going to force it on us. You know, if we pull our hand away, he's not going to fight us. So, you know, it's all up to us. But God is, he's doing all that he can for all of his creation. And as a brother was talking about, he loves and cares for us so much. And if we could just recognize it, it would make things a lot easier on ourselves. Again, I desire your prayers this morning. The Lord gave a thought some time ago, and it's been the thought that just keeps on giving. And I didn't realize that it was going to give this much, but I thank the Lord for it. I pray that you each have been encouraged by what has been shared. I know it's been encouraging to me. So just a few more things I'd like to add to that. Maybe this morning I won't reiterate all the things that we mentioned before, but this morning I'd like to mention several things about God being our healer, our comforter, and how he never leaves us. These are things that we can stand on and trust in and know that, as we've been sharing all along, we know that God's word is true. We know that his promises are true, and we don't need to stagger at them no matter what they are. So talking about this morning, God being our healer, a lot of times we equate that maybe to physical healing, and that's true. It is physical healing. But you know, the most important healing that God is concerned about is spiritual healing. The healing that we need in our souls. And what tends to happen with us as creation, you know, we can become spiritually sick because of the circumstances and the situations of our lives. And God wants to heal that. And this is something that it just didn't start now. This has been something that's been going on since the beginning of time. And I'm going to remind us a little bit. I'd like to begin in Exodus, the 15th chapter, and verse 26. If you get there before me, you can go ahead and start reading. Exodus 15, verse 26.
And said,
if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God,
and will do that which is right in his sight,
and will give ear to his commandments,
keep all his statutes,
I will put none of these diseases upon thee,
which I have brought unto the Egyptians.
For I am the Lord that healeth thee. We'll give a little context here. You know, this is talking about the children of Israel. And this was a promise that God had given to Moses that he was passing down to them to try to encourage them. This is after they had left all the bondage of Egypt. And God had some assurances for them. He wanted them to know that he was able to protect and shield them from all of those things that maybe that they had seen and observed while they was there in Egypt. And we, you know, when we think about the children of Israel, you know, what do we think about? When we remember them, if someone just said, what's the first word that comes to your mind when you think about the children of Israel? They made it to the promised land. That the first thing that comes to your mind? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Murmuring and complaining. Disobedience, all these things. You know, God had something special for them. just like he has something special for us. But you know, again, what it, all the things that they were in bondage, and God brought them out of that, right? So they saw all the things that took place there, and God brought them through. But as they were on their journey to the promised land, this is what all the thing that, you know, I'm not going to reiterate it, but you know about all the things that you mentioned here this morning. God had something better. He had something better than that. He said, they were spiritually sick is what happened. That's really what it was. And he wanted them to know, I have healing for that. Yes, this is the circumstances of your life. You were in bondage. Now you've been set free. And now you're on a journey to get somewhere that I've promised you. But I have something special for you. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. He wanted them to get past all those things. If they would have just recognized all the things that God had done for them, how much better off they would be. And you know, the tendency for us is we have to be careful that we don't end up in a similar condition. You know, when we look back, when we can take ourselves and we can look back at them and we can say, man, why did they struggle so much? What was going on? You know, sometimes it's helpful for us to turn things on. Lord, help me. Yes. Help me to not be in those kind of places. Because yes. you're my healer. Yes. I am the Lord that healeth thee. The writer said God is the great physician. And if we are kept well, it is he that keeps us. And if we are made well, it's he that restores us in our life and for the length of our days. So we can be encouraged by this promise. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Whatever we need healing from. Again, it just seems like what happens with us, life damages us, right? Things happen, and you know, it's just the way it is. But God has a healing for everything that has happened in our life. And he can heal us. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Let's continue. 2 Chronicles, 7th chapter and the 14th verse. This is a very familiar text of scripture. But as we read this scripture, you know, this scripture starts with each and every one of us individually. Yes. 2 Chronicles 7:14.
If my people,
which are called by my name,
will humble themselves and pray,
and seek my face,
and turn from their wicked ways,
then will I hear from heaven,
and will forgive their sin,
and will heal their land. You know, this is something a lot of times we think about this scripture in a global sense. Yeah. But you know, where this begins with each person individually, right? I'm coming to the Lord because, you know, here's some stipulations that's given. We recognize when we look at our lives and we see when we're not in the place that God wants us to be, we recognize there's some issues there, right? I need some help. And the instruction here, it says, if my people, first of all, we are all God's people, right? We are his creation. He died for every soul. There's not one soul that he didn't die for. Nobody's exempt. Nobody can stand up and say, no, he didn't die for me. Yes, he did. You're his child. We are his people, all of us, all of his creation. However many billions of people there are in the earth, we are all his people. So this starts with me, my people. If so I acknowledge that I'm called by his name, right? He bled and died for each and every one of us. There's some stipulations here that he puts on it. Now, I want him to be my healer. I want him to come to my rescue in the way that I stand in need. There's some things that I have to do here. I have to, first of all, I got to humble myself. You know, if I don't realize that I need something, am I going to get any help? I'm just fine. I'm okay. And I, you know, if I'm walking along and I keep tripping over my feet, you know, and somebody say, are you okay? What's going on? I'm fine. I mean, if something's going on, there's a reason why I keep tripping. I need some help. I'm going to have to humble myself and say, I don't know what's going on here. Can you lend me a hand? Yes. So we have to acknowledge I need some help. As a brother mentioned this morning, I can't do this on my own. You know, that's the best way to mess up your life is to try to do it by yourself. So I got to humble myself and pray. Acknowledge, Lord, you made me. All the things that I have and that I am, you gave them to me, Lord. But I need you to help me to know how to use them. So we got to humble ourselves and pray, and then we have to seek his face. Yes. Acknowledge again, I need some direction here. Yes. Then I can just keep going the way I'm going. No, see, turn. See, turn from your wicked ways. Yes. Then will I hear from heaven and heal your land. It's not one of those ones where if you do 3 out of 4, you're going to be all right. It doesn't work like that. You know, all the promises that God has given us in his word, they're conditional. We talk about that all the time. I have a responsibility. There's something that I have to do. If I want God to heal my land, me individually, then I have to do those things that he said. Think about it like this. If we desire something from God, we have to accept his terms. So his terms in this scripture is to humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our own way. That's really what it is. See, we go on our own way thinking we know what we need to do. We need to say, I'm through with that, Lord. I want healing. It's time for me to go your way now. See, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, the scripture says, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So this scripture, if you are doing an equation for this scripture, on the one side, it's humble, pray, seek your face, turn from your own way, and then you equal healing. His terms. Let me ask a question, those that are old enough. Have you ever purchased anything that you didn't have the physical money for? We have, haven't we? I don't know when's the last time somebody went and, you know, bought a car, made your first car or house where you just laid the cash on the table and you said, all right. No? So what do we have to do? We had to get a loan, didn't we? We had to say, Mr. Bank or whoever it is, I need some money so I can purchase this item. What do all those things come with? Conditions, aren't they? And it's just like one page. Have you ever read all of them? Most of the time we don't, do we? They just tell you sign on all these 50 pages. You know, I mean, if you really read through them, well, some of it might, you might say, wait a minute, hold up. But the point being is that this person is basically, they're saying, you're going to honor this. Yeah. I'm going to allow you to live in this house, and you're going to honor these terms. What if we decided, you know what? I'm going to take them terms, and I'm going to put them in the shredder. How quickly they going to be there coming to get your keys, see? Well, I mean, we think about this in a natural sense, things that we do like this all the time. And why do we think it's going to be different with God? These are his terms now. This is what he's requiring of me. And I want to say, Lord, no, I'm going to bring my own terms to you, and I still want the promise. It doesn't work. Just like in real life, it wouldn't work. They'll come and say, all right, turn your keys in. You got so many days to be out. This is his terms. You want him to be the healer? Do the things that he said to do. We heard about this next verse a couple Sundays ago. Don't want to belabor it. Just want to mention a few things here in Luke 4:18. Again, he's our healer. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. We heard the message several Sundays ago about healing the brokenhearted. Just a few little thoughts on this. Did you know that brokenheartedness will halt or hinder spiritual growth? So if I am broken in some kind of way in a spiritual sense, then I'm not drawing closer to the Lord. And you can't necessarily stay stagnant when it comes to a relationship with God. You either going closer or you getting further away. See, the enemy would like to trick people to think, well, you can stay in this spot here and you'll be okay. That's not so. You're either getting closer or you're getting further away. Most of the times when you think about it, when we are brokenhearted from some reason, is it not self-inflicted? It's either one of two things. It's either something that we've done that we just so ashamed of that we can't seem to forgive ourselves, and we just keep reiterating over and over in our mind, or it's something that somebody else did to us that we just can't get over, and that just does something to us. In either of those two instances, that was God mentioned? No. He didn't have anything to do with it. So why do we blame God? God is wanting to provide the healing. How many of us in our lifetime have ever done something that if we had the opportunity, we probably wouldn't do it again? Or if we could go back in time, we would undo that. Yeah, there's not anybody in this room that could say, oh, that's nothing like that to ever happen to me. No, it's called being human. We're human beings. So you know what? What's done is done. We can't go backwards. So God came to heal the brokenhearted. So if there's something within us that we just can't seem to get over, that seems to be holding us back, that we can't forgive ourselves of, God came to say, I'm here to take that away. Because if God can forgive us, Almighty God can forgive us, then we can forgive ourselves. And if God will do that for us, and if we can each acknowledge that, here's another question. Have you ever did something to somebody else where you, if you had to do it over again, you wouldn't do it? Maybe spoke out of turn, said something with knowledge that you thought you had that wasn't right. We all have done it. And when we go, we say, would you just forgive me? I didn't mean it. That's not what I meant. So if we can do that for ourselves, we can do that for other people. So that's what God has healing for us. He came to heal the brokenhearted.
Thank the Lord.
And the only, what God wants to heal us so that we can move forward.
Amen.
We don't have those kinds of things holding us back.
Amen.
How many times have you read stories in the Bible when Jesus healed somebody in a natural sense, that there was also a spiritual healing behind it? We could go through story after story about how God healed him and he said, go and sin no more, or if thy sins, and thy sins be forgiven thee. So again, the most important thing that God is interested in is being our spiritual healer. But he is also our physical healer, and he made provisions for that as well. James, one other thing I want to mention as I look here, talking about healing for brokenness. You know what also God wants to heal? Maybe there's some that say, I've tried it. I've tried to live for God more than once, and I just haven't been successful. You know what God wants to do? He wants to heal that backsliding.
Yes.
That's in Hosea, the 14th chapter and the 14th verse. He came to heal that. So if you've had some troubles, God can heal you of that and plant your feet on some solid ground so you can just keep moving forward for him. He's a healer of everything. There's no stipulation to it. Now, our physical healing, James 5, 14 through 16.
Is any sick among you?
Is any sick among you?
Let him call for the elders of the church.
Let him call for the elders of the church.
Let them pray over him.
Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
The Lord shall raise him up.
And if he hath committed
sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another.
Pray one for another
that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
So God is also interested in us physically, and he can heal us physically. You know, there's some beautiful things mentioned here in this verse. It talks about calling on those that have a closeness with God. Not just something that they talk about, it's something heartfelt.
Yes.
Not just words, but it's something that you know that they have, they can get a hold of God.
Yes.
Praying the prayer of faith. You know, it's not in the words that said. You know, a lot of times when you think back in the stories that we have in the Bible, sometimes Jesus just said three or four words, didn't he?
Yes.
Well, be healed. It wasn't, so it's not in that. The promise is in us meeting the conditions, right? If I need healing from God, I need to meet his conditions. This verse talks about making sure that all is well with me and God. Confessing, you know, when I come to God and I need a touch in my body, this is saying I need to make sure that all is well spiritually first.
That's right.
See, I'm saying, Lord, I need you to give me a touch. But Lord, is there something that you're trying to get my attention? Is there something about me, Lord? Is there something in a way that you want me to draw closer to you? Lord, is there something that you put your finger on that you want me to recognize? And when I address that, then you're going to give me a touch.
Yes.
Lord, help.
Yes.
You know, this has been, you know, now I need to think about this now. When I'm coming to the Lord and I got a little ache and pain or I need him to give me a touch, Lord, is there something that you've been working on me?
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that I've been missing somehow? I need to pay attention to that. Do I want the healing? If I want the healing, again, this is what he's saying I need to do. Lord, is all well with my soul? First of all, that's the most important concern. Is all well with my soul? And Lord, if that's the case, Lord, if you see fit, would you give me a touch? Would you come to my rescue? Because you said you are the God that healeth. Confess your faults one for another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. See, there has to be something behind it. It can't just be, well, you know, we think about the verse with the scribe and the Pharisee when he talked about all the things that he did. I do this and I do that. That's not what it's about. Well, a righteous man is not just, he don't even have to say anything.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right?
This is just, you can just demeanor, how they act, how they conduct themselves.
Yes.
So, Lord, we can bring these things to God. Lord, I'm endeavoring by your grace to live before you in a way that's pleasing and honoring to you. And you said in your word that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avail much. Lord, as far as I know, all is well with my soul. Lord, I need a divine touch from you. Would you give me a touch? These are the promises that we can stand on. Provisions were made for this. There's a verse in the Old Testament and the New Testament that talk about this, Isaiah 53 and 5.
He was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
The chastisement of our peace
is upon him.
And with his stripes, we are healed.
Now I'll go to 1 Peter 2 and 24.
Who his own self bear our sins in his own body
on the tree,
that we being dead to sins
should live unto righteousness,
by whose stripes
ye are healed.
So we got it on the old and we got it in the new.
All the things that God, so when he was suffering,
it was for our sake.
Yes.
The specific stripes, I believe it bears out when you read when he was crucified, how they laid those, that where they whipped him and put the stripes. They had a specific purpose for our healing.
Yes.
So we have the promise. He promised to be our healer. Again, our responsibility is meet the conditions. You know, how can we expect? Could you say, you know, again, going back to that example of trying to get a loan for something, if you refuse to sign, or if you read through all the how many ever pages it is and you say, I have a problem with this one, they'll say, okay, go find somebody else. We can't come to God and say, Lord, I'm willing to do everything except for this one thing, and then still expect to receive the promise. Remember the rich young ruler, right? The prophet was telling him all the things, or Jesus, it was Jesus, right? He was talking to Jesus. Jesus said, you need to do this, 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 and this. And he was no doubt kind of, oh, check, check, check. I've got it. I got this. And then Jesus said, one thing you lack. Sell all you have and give it to the poor. His heart was in that, see?
Yeah, that's right.
So again, when I come to God, I need healing, Lord. Whether it's spiritual or physical, have I met all the conditions?
Yes.
If I haven't met all the conditions, then I can't expect God to abide by the promise that he has given in his word. He promised in his word to be our comforter. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3. Yes.
Blessed be God.
Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The Father of mercies.
And the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Does that exclude anything? So it doesn't matter whatever circumstance of life that you can bring to God's attention. He promised to be the God of all comfort. This is how the Amplified says in this verse. It says, blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of sympathy, pity and mercy, and the God who is the source of every comfort, consolation, and encouragement. He's the fountain from which all consolation, encouragement, and happiness flows. It comes from God. All of it comes from God. And it's like a fountain that never stops. This is how you can relate to it, maybe. You ever been to a place that has the sensor faucets, or automatic faucets? What do? You put your hand there, right, and the water comes out. And as long as that beam, that laser beam, senses your hand, right, then the water flows. What happens when you step away? It turns off, right? We're talking about the God of all comfort. The brother sung the song about him holding our hand, right? Can God be the comforter to us that we need him to be if he's over here and we over there? you know, it's like you standing on the other side of the room and the faucet's over there and you turn the water on. We got to be close enough to receive it, right? Don't get too far away. See, that's the encouragement here. We want God to be the comfort to us in all of life's situations, all of life's problems. We got to be close enough to Him to receive it. You ever try to give somebody a hug and they back up from you? You know, you can't, right? You're either going to fall or stumble, or you got to keep on moving to try to get them. You know, God in all His love and His mercy, the writer here talked about pity and mercy. He's standing there. He's like the one waiting there with open arms, wanting to give us a hug, and we keep backing away. What do we expect God to do? To come running after us? See, the thing about God is He's so merciful. He's so loving and kind, He continues to pursue us, doesn't He? But you know the thing about it? We don't know how long He's going to do that. He could say, you know what? I'm trying to be your comforter, but you just keep on backing away. There's going to be a point in time where He is to say, you all right? My mercy is finished. I don't even get close to that. Amen. If you stay close enough to Him, you don't have to worry about it, because that's a fountain of comfort. The comfort is not, the mention there was, is not just consolation in times of sorrow, but it's also the encouragement and the inspiration that comes from God as well. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Amen. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Deuteronomy 31, starting at verse 6, reading through verse 8.
Be strong and of good courage.
Be strong and of good courage. Fear not,
nor be afraid of them.
For the Lord thy God,
He it is that doth go with thee.
He will not fail thee,
nor forsake thee.
That eighth verse, is that 6 through 8?
Moses called unto Joshua.
Said unto them in the sight of all Israel,
be strong and of a good courage.
Thou must go with this people
unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers
to give them.
And thou shalt cause them to inherit it.
Now go ahead and read verse 8, please.
And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee.
He will be with thee.
He will not fail thee,
neither forsake thee.
Fear not,
neither be dismayed. You know, this was a time when Moses was encouraging those to, I believe, it was the Amalekites or someone that were going into battle. And the encouragement was, God's going to be with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And you know, this promise that God has given to them is for us as well. He says, and the Lord, he is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Neither be thou dismayed. The Lord doth go before thee. Why does he go before us? To prepare the way. Right? So God is with us, carrying God with us. He's going before us. So everything, you know, it's not the things that we go through in life. God went through it first. And he made the way for us to be able to go through it. So he goes before us to prepare the way. And he's there to accompany us and assist us as we go. And he's not going to fail us. We can't expect too much from God. Recognizing he's not going to forsake us because we can't do anything without him anyways. Even the things that we think we can do, unless God give us the strength, we're not going to be able to do it anyways. So, Lord, I need you with me every step of the way. And as long as I have you with me, I know you're not going to leave me. Right? It goes back to him pursuing after us. I might leave him, but that's on me, right? See, God said he would never leave us or forsake us. So then again, the condition being, then I can't leave him or forsake him. See, I can't expect God, Lord, where are you? When I haven't been holding his hand, as we song we heard about. We have to do our part now. Hebrews 13 and 5. So you can say, well, that was for the children of Israel. All its promises for us too. But just in case, it's in here again.
Let your conversation be without
covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There's more times that this is mentioned in the Bible. If we read all of them, we would be up here a while. But just look for them. There's many times where God let his people know, I will never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. So the encouragement for us, in the midst of trial, in the midst of test, in the midst of temptation, we have this promise that we can hold on to. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. There's some conditions, though, he gave us. He did, didn't he? How's our heart? See, I got to have my heart in the right place. I can't be, Lord, I seen brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and they got this and that. I want that, but Lord, don't leave me. My heart not in the place. I'm coveting things that somebody else has. You know, there's always somebody that's worse off than us. No matter, sometimes the enemy might try to say, oh, you don't have this, you don't have that. You know, it's nothing but the mercy of God that all of us have what we do have. Did we have anything to do with the time and place that we were born? What's the difference between us and somebody that's born in a third world country? That has to, they can't go to the store and buy food. What's the difference? So when I come to God and say, Lord, I need you. You promised not to leave me.
You promised not to forsake me. I have to keep my heart right. I have to be in the right place. The writer said, desire nothing more than what God has given you. That's not to say we can say, God, I would desire this. I believe we mentioned that a few Sundays ago when we're talking about supplying our needs. Sometimes we don't have things that we think we need because God knows we don't need them, because they're going to affect our spiritual life. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. They say that it's a negative. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. They say with the way the Greek is written that the negatives reinforces the promise. So in other words, you ever had those math equations where you have two negative numbers and they cancel out and make a positive? The way they say, the way the Greek is intended to be understood, because of the, I will never do this, I will never do that, that reinforces this assurance that God will be with us.
Yeah.
So we can be encouraged by that. We sing a song. He promised never to leave me. Never. One of the verses there of that song, 489, it talks about he died for me on the mountain. For me, they pierced his side. For me, he opened the fountain, the crimson cleansing tide. For me, he's waiting in glory, seated upon his throne. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. There's no situation in life that as long as we have God with us, that we can't make it through. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Then the songwriter repeated it. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. You know, this is a promise that each and every one of us can claim as our own.
Yes.
Lord, you promised in the midst of the most difficult situation, Lord, you promised that you would never leave. One final encouragement for us as we read, maybe think about all the promises that we have made mention of over this series. Again, we've just got the tip of the iceberg. But you know, the wonderful thing about it is we can claim all of these for our very own. Each of us individually. Maybe you have someone that you look up to, maybe that's been a mentor to you, and you can recognize God has been with them. You can just see God's hand working with them and seeing God use them and prosper them. God can do the same thing for you. Maybe not in the same way, but in the way that God wants. You know, maybe, you know, it might not be, you know, some people might be preachers, but you have a congregation everywhere you go.
That's right.
All of us do.
That's right.
And if you see God's hand on someone and you say, Lord, I want to be used like that. Guess what? God is no respecter of persons. Romans 2 and 11 lets us know that. There's none of us that's more special than anybody else. When Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, it was for everybody. None of us has special privileges over anybody else. What is Romans 2 and 11? For there is no respect of persons with God. The Amplified said, "For God shows no partiality, undue favor, or unfairness. With him, one man is no different from another." All I have to do is meet the conditions. If I meet the conditions, I can claim the promise. Doesn't matter who I am. Stand on the promises of God. Stand on his promises. Stand on his word. Just one final thing here. Standing on the promises that cannot fall. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. My encouragement to us all, me included, is to stand on those promises in all things. I pray that each one has been encouraged today and over the series of these thoughts that the Lord has given. God's word is full of promises. Again, we've only touched just a few of them. But you know, the blessing in it is that for each and every one of us, we can all claim them. Isn't that wonderful? That we can each say, you can say, no, that's my promise. No, it's my promise. We can all have that. It's a promise. Promises that God have given, they're for all of us. There's just one thing. We have to meet the conditions. I appreciate your time and your attention. I desire your prayers. I want, by the help and grace of God, to have all the promises that God has given us, and by his grace and by his help, be willing to meet the conditions.